And so I didn't want to give him any more. Plus, you know, it was a little spicy, and so, you know, I didn't think he'd like it. But he kept bugging me. Please, 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 please. And, you know, and the kid's saying please. I'm just like, okay, I'll just go ahead and give him one of the little sausages off there. It had some of the hot, spicy peppers, but I'm going to admit, I put a few more on, okay? Probably a little too much. And I was like, here you go. He takes it, he eats it, and he goes, his face starts turning red, and he goes, ooh, oh, more. Gosh. Okay, we all make our choices, and we have to live with those choices, right? You want to guess what his diaper looked like an hour later? We love our choices, and even if they cause us pain, we enjoy the process of choosing things, making the life we have the way we want it to be. Let's just go ahead and put this out on the outlines right away. Let's just get this out there, make sure we're all clear. We have a choice. Follow God completely in all areas of our life or not. That's what we're talking about. That's it right there. JJ had a choice. Eat the spicy pizza or not. He had another choice. Take more punishment or not. You know, and here's the choice that we have. We can give God everything or we can not. You know, and most people tend to think that it's not really a cut and dry. You know, it's kind of like a, well, I can give God a little. I can give him a little more. I don't have to give him anything. I can give him a lot. And I would say it's probably true. There's a lot of gray area in there. But what we're talking about tonight is one or the other. You give God everything or you're not giving him everything. You're giving him less than everything. And in Joshua chapter 2, this is what we're going to find out is this lady named Rahab, who is a prostitute, has some choices to make. You see, Joshua, who is the leader of the Israelites now, he's taken over since Moses died, he's getting ready to attack the city of Jericho. And so he sends some spies in, and let's find out what happened when he sends these spies in. This is Joshua chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3. Grab your Bibles. It's on page 158. Verses 1 to 3. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here. You know, I just got to say, if you ever think the Bible's boring, you know, it's just kind of funny. That's maybe just because you're not paying attention. I mean, the leader sends spies into this land, and where do they go? A prostitute's house. That's just a little weird, isn't it? Imagine you had some employees. You're like, hey, go check out this land. I want to see how good it is. And when they come back, you find out they were staying at a prostitute's house. What are you going to be like? Oh, cool. Or, I don't know. Anyway, it's just weird. You know, just weird stuff happens. You just got to watch for it. And so the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent the message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. Here we go. Outlines. Rahab had a choice. Side with Israel or her own people in Jericho. Right? I mean, these spies come. They come into her house. And the king says, you've got spies from Israel living in your house right now. Give them to me. She's got a choice, doesn't she? She can either say, yeah, they're upstairs. Go get them. Or she can hide them. I mean, she has a choice to make, and certainly any decent person would choose to side with their own country. Right? I mean, if Canada comes to attack the United States, no one in the right mind sides with Canada, right? Not even the Canadians. That's aside the point. But the people in the U.S., we love our country. We don't side with another country. We stay with our own country. And she would have stayed with her own people. There's only one thing. God was on the side of Israel. You see, we're going to go back a few verses back into chapter 1. So grab this and look back to chapter 1. It's on the page before, verse 6. This is God talking to Joshua. 1 verse 6. God says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. You see what's happening here? God promised a long time ago that Israel would own this land. He said, you and your descendants will take over this area and you will own it. And now Israel's there and this is what God wants. God wants Israel to own Jericho. So what's Rahab going to do? Will she side with her people like a decent person would? Or will she side with Israel and God like a decent person would? You know, most people expect a prostitute is going to do the wrong thing, right? I mean, seriously. Especially religious people. I mean, people like Rahab tend to be written off when you get into churches. Isn't that true? Religion tends to put people down. You know, we've got rules and judgments, and we say, you've done this and this and this, so you're not worthy about hanging out. You're not worthy with being with us or whatever. And we always tend to forget that this, and this that we've done. That's aside the point. Here's the cool part, though. While religion is busy putting people down, God is busy giving people chances to move up through choices they have in their own life. He gives them choices. Do you think it was an accident that the spies stayed in the house of a prostitute named Rahab? Do you think God was like, well, that's kind of weird. I wonder how they ended up there. No, God's giving Rahab a choice to change her life. And right now, God is giving you a choice tonight. He's giving you a choice tomorrow as well. Every day that you're alive, you have a choice. Every hour you live, you have a choice. Every moment you make a decision, you have choices to either give God your whole self or not. Let's put this on the outlines to make it clear. God loves everyone and invites them to make a choice. Even Rahab, a prostitute. God doesn't write anyone off. So we've got a choice today. And Rahab had a choice back then. Side with God and Israel. Side with my own country people. So let's look back to chapter 2 and see exactly what Rahab does. Verse 2, and we're going to read to 7. The king of Jericho is told, look, some of the Israelites have come here to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up on the roof, hidden them under the stalks of flax she laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. So she chooses to side with Israel over her own people, right? Why would she do this? I mean, what would possess anyone to give up, to commit treason? Well, we find out. It's Joshua 2:8. Let's keep reading here. We're going to read 8 to 13. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Basically, she's saying, look, we hear you guys are kicking butt and God's with you. When we heard it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign. Basically, because she knew God was involved, nothing else mattered, huh? She said, look, I've seen God work with you. I know that God is on your side. So this whole nation versus nation thing, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it's crazy to commit treason, isn't it? That's nuts. But when we know where God is, it's not so nuts to side with God, is it? Man, the foolish things we do for God are only foolish in the eyes of man, but they're wonderful in the eyes of God. You understand what I'm saying? Rahab the prostitute commits treason. Do you think the people in her city are going to say, oh, that was smart? No, they're going to say, you must die. But what's God saying? Good decision. foolish decisions for God are only foolish in the eyes of man. And Rahab takes a big risk trying to live for God. When I took a mission trip to Mexico one time, and we started working on all sorts of different things. We had a building project and a kids club, and there was this one kid in the kids club. His name was Gustavo, and he was like the filthiest kid you've ever seen. I mean, this whole neighborhood was just, it was terrible. You don't see anything like it in the States. I mean, if you go on a trip, you know what I'm talking about. And he was like the dirtiest of the dirty kids. And every day he would come up to me and say, play game, play game. I'd say, okay. And he would do this thing where he'd go, Daza. Yeah, I don't know what he'd say. He'd say something in Spanish that I didn't understand. And he would talk like he was going to play a game on my arm. And every time he'd get to a certain point, he'd slap me across the face. And he would laugh and laugh like he was the funniest person ever. And whatever. So, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm on a mission trip. I'm like, I guess I'll let him hit me, you know. So every time he'd come, he'd want to play his game and he'd hit me. And, you know, the kid's really, he's annoying, but he's really dirty and kind of cute. So you just kind of put up with him. Well, at the end of the time we were there, we come, you know, us great Americans, and we're rich. And, you know, so we decide to, you know, buy sandwiches for the whole village. You know, we're great. And we, you know, pass out all these sandwiches all over. And, you know, I wasn't exactly overweight at the time, but I mean, it's not like any of us are exactly skinny. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, compared with people in other countries, I mean, maybe a few of you, like, but most of us, yeah, you, most of us not. Everyone looks like who? I want to know. Anyway, but these kids, you know, they're skinny, they're malnutrition, they're dirty, and we're giving them these sandwiches like we're all great. And Gustavo, he walks up with a sandwich. And he's asked me through translator, he's probably like 5. He asked me, he's like, are you leaving? I said, yeah, this is our last night here. It's our last night. And he sits down and he thinks, and I'm thinking he's going to play his game. And he goes, you have sandwich. Like, holy smokes, right? I mean, I'm coming, I'm like, oh, I'm a awesome American. I'm going to give them some sandwiches. Here's this little kid, totally destitute, poor. And he's giving me the only sandwich he'll probably have for the next week. Foolish. You think in the eyes of God he was being a fool? Or you think in the eyes of God he was showing love? I mean, which one is it? You know, it's pretty clear. I thought I was so noble, but here a child who had nothing is offering me his meal. That is wisdom in the eyes of God, because love is more important. Foolishness for God is wisdom. We've talked about this before. And what Rahab is doing seems foolish, but it is really wise, because she is doing it because she knows who God is. Check this out. Look at your outlines. Rahab abandoned her own people, risked her life by lying to a king, and committed treason because of her belief. What exactly was this belief? Well, she gives us a statement of faith in Joshua 2:9, the first part of 2:9. Grab your Bibles. This is the first part of 2:9. This is her statement of faith. She said to them, I know that the Lord God has given this land to you, and a great fear of you has fallen over on us. So all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. She believed that God was with them, right? This is what she believed that compelled her to commit treason. This is called we do foolish things because we believe God wants us to. That is called faith. If you believe God is calling you to make a choice that is difficult, but you make that choice, you've just proven you have faith. Rahab says, where is that? I know the Lord has given this land to you. She knows God is there, so she's going to follow whoever God is with. Faith. Check this out. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's hold up on that for a second. Hebrews chapter 11, it was written 1,500 years after Rahab. Okay? So Rahab lived and did all her stuff. 1,500 years later, the writer of the book in the Bible called Hebrews writes this. Okay? By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Hebrews 11 is called the Faith Hall of Fame. You understand this? She is in the Faith Hall of Fame with Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these people who are like the superstars of the Bible. In the middle of this list, we find a prostitute. Why? Because of her faith, because what she believed. Now, we know she believed God was with Israel. Okay, we're getting through all that. We don't understand. But what does she believe about God himself that makes this such a big deal? This is found in Joshua 2:11, but it's on your outlines as well. She says this, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth below." This is key. This is where we start getting into the meat of the stuff tonight. This is my favorite verse out of this section. She says, "Your God is in heaven above and earth below." This is her fundamental belief, you might say. Let me ask you a question. If God was in heaven, but not earth, would her actions matter? Not necessarily, because he's just a pie-in-the-sky idea, right? If God is in heaven, but not earth, are you going to commit treason? Heck no, because he's not going to protect you. What about if God is on earth, but not in heaven? Would her actions matter? No, not necessarily, because he'd just be like an idol. Just on earth, but not real. But he, as she claimed, is God in heaven and on earth. Look at your outlines. Therefore, any spiritual or heavenly belief must connect with an earthly action. If she believes God's in heaven but not earth, no big deal. If she believes God is in earth, heaven, no big deal. But she believes God is in heaven and on earth. So she has a heavenly belief. It better translate to something on earth. You understand what I'm saying? She's saying, I know God is in heaven. He's the creator, the real God of the universe. I also know that God is on earth and he changes things down here. She believed in the God of heaven. So she made her actions on earth change and she helped the spies escape. No, it's not only her belief that mattered. It's the actions that followed her belief. Hebrews 11, let's look at it one more time. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Why wasn't she killed? Because she had faith? No! She wasn't killed because she welcomed the spies. Why did she welcome the spies? Because she had faith. This is faith and action. They start mingling together. It's this weird thing. Her actions proved her faith. Please understand this. This is the fundamental Christian doctrine. Faith alone is what saves you and gets you into heaven. Faith alone is what pleases God. You cannot be good enough to get into heaven on your own. It's as if we have a rope going up to heaven. And if that rope breaks, we're just out of luck, right? It doesn't matter how long the rope is, how many good deeds we attach to it. The rope is broke, right? You can't get into heaven by good deeds. You have to believe in God, ask him for forgiveness. Then he will reattach the rope, okay? It's faith that gets you into heaven, faith in Jesus Christ. But whenever you have faith, actions automatically follow. Look, it didn't matter how many old ladies Rahab helped walk across the street. She couldn't get into heaven on her own. But because she believed in God, she would automatically help ladies walk across the street. You understand where I'm going with this? Because God is Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, our spiritual beliefs must connect to an earthly reality. Rahab's belief in God meant she had to help the spies. The book of James was also written 1,500 years after Rahab, and it talks about the connection between faith and action. Check this out. Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder! You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?
As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You believe in God. Ain't that nice? So do the demons, and guess where they're going? Look at your outline. Faith, trusting in God, without deeds, that's real life actions proving our trust, is dead. Faith without deeds is dead. Trusting God without putting any action to it is pointless. You believe? So what? Demons believe. The question isn't, do you believe? The question is, what are you going to do about it? Look, I mean, if we get down to it, everyone believes. Even the atheist who claims he doesn't believe knows in the recesses of his heart that God is real. That's what the Bible tells us. He may not admit it, but he knows. Everyone believes. It's not a question of whether or not you believe. It's a question of what you do with that belief. And what will you do with the extent of your belief? Listen. Some of you are Christian, you're going, all right, I believe and I'm trying to live it out. But for you who are already a Christian, I ask you this question. To what extent will your belief inform your actions? Do you believe in God a little bit and you serve Him a little bit? Or do you believe God in a big, giant, God-sized belief and trust that is going to inform your life in a big, giant, God-sized way? It's about the connection between heaven and earth, belief and actions. We usually try to disconnect these just a little bit. But look how Ruth puts them together in Joshua 2:12. Read 12 and 13. I'll give you a second to get there. She says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Why should God's people spare her? Why shouldn't they kill her when they attack the city? Because she believes in God? No. They shouldn't kill her, because she helped them. Because she had a belief, and she put it into action. What does she say in verse 12? She says, you will spare the lives of my father and my brother. Why? Because I have shown kindness to you. Actions prove our faith. Now we've got a little side note here, a question that I do want to answer. If we can check this question out. We have those questions? We'll get it in 1 second. Okay, I'm going to go on while he gets that question. Just honk a horn when you're ready or something. You see what happens? She believes that God is going to help Israel, so she acts on that belief, right? Now, if that was us, here's what I'm guessing would have happened. A spy knocks on your door. Boom, boom, boom. Hi, I'm from the Canadian military. And we start laughing. He's like, no, I'm serious. And he's like, I'm coming to spy out the land, and I need your help. He's like, we're coming to invade, and we're going to bomb your city tonight. Most of us might say something to the effect of, look, dude, I'm begging you right now. You know me face to face. I'm asking you not to bomb my house. Look, right? Let's work this out. Don't bomb my house. But I'm telling you, you can't stay here. That's what most of us would do, right? We would say, please don't bomb my house, but I'm not going to help you, right? We're saying, I want you to give me the reward without the work. I want you to give me the blessing without the action. We want the paycheck without the job. And this is what we ask God for. But this is a bad idea. Look at your outlines. Bad idea, wanting God to bless us while we practically ignore Him with our actions. This is what we do a lot of times, isn't it? We go to bed at night. God, please help me not to be sick. God, please help this. God, please help that. God, you know, I want this. God, I need that. Help me to be calm. Help me to trust you. And then we go out throughout the day. And what do we do to God? What do we do for Him? What do we do to prove our faith? We want blessings without action. It just doesn't make sense. All right, I think we got this question. Let's jump to the question really quick. In Proverbs, God tells us not to lie. Isn't that what the prostitute did? Well, the prostitute did lie. Now, there's a number of different answers to this, but I want you to note, did God ever say in here, And Rahab lied, and God was proud of it. No, God never said that. She chose to lie. That doesn't mean God agreed with it or liked it, okay? So she might have been doing wrong. It doesn't mean God agreed with it. There was other options she could have taken. I mean, she could have just shut the door in the king's face, right? Not lied. Some people believe that if she had done that, God would have miraculously helped them escape. That's possible. There are people who say, Proverbs tells us not to lie, but what Proverbs is really calling us to do is to do the greatest good. The greatest good in that situation was to hide God's spies. It's like there were people who hid Jews during the Holocaust, World War II, and people would say, are there Jews there? And they'd say, no. They were doing the greatest good. So take your pick. I'm not sure which side I fall down on. It depends on the day. So we got one more question here that I do want to check out. If Rahab believed in God, then why was she a prostitute? If you believe in God, why do you do the things you do? I don't know. I mean, all I can say is yesterday, I did some stuff wrong. I messed up. Today I've been perfect, but yet. I'm just kidding. I mean, I do stuff wrong every day, you know? And I'm hoping someone's not going to look back at me and go, hey, if you were a pastor, why did you sin? Like, no, you look at the other way, buddy. I sinned, therefore I became a pastor. Right? She's probably not thinking, oh, why? I believe in God, why am I a prostitute? She's probably thinking, I do wrong, I need God. Right? You know, and so we can also look at it and say, you know, maybe she really didn't know about God. All she knew was she was living her life in the wrong way. Israel comes and she says, this is it. I am now living for God. So it could have been a complete change in life. I suspect there was a change. But the Bible doesn't say that directly, so we can't do it. Okay, so anyway, back to the bad idea. Bad idea is wanting God to bless us while we practically ignore him with our actions. But Rahab knows better. Faith should always lead to real action. Otherwise, faith is, help me out, dead. Let's get that a little bit stronger. I want to make sure we get it. Faith should always lead to action. Otherwise, faith is, thank you. Or for some of us, it's life support. Some of us have faith. It's not like we're not doing any actions. We're doing just enough to be like on spiritual life support, right? Like, I believe in God. So I put a few bucks in the offering. Few bucks. Oh, okay. All right, I'm still alive. All right. You know what I'm saying? I believe in God, so I didn't kill my boss. You know, like we're taking these things that we do, and we're like saying, see, I'm a Christian because of these good things I do, where they're like, they're little good things. They're keeping us on spiritual life support, but they're not like the big godly things that inform our life in a big godly way. You understand the difference there? Most of us are living on spiritual life support. Some of us are dead. Not very many of us are living in a really godly way. Let's keep on looking through this and see what else we learn about faith and actions. Verse 15 and 16 goes like this. If you grab your Bible, I'll give you 1 second to get there. So she let them down by a rope through that window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Okay, there she is putting her faith into action. She's hidden the spies. Now she's lowering them down. I want you to picture this in your mind's eye, okay? She lives in a house that is part of the city wall. The archaeological evidence says that there's actually 2 city walls about 15 feet apart. So her house was either on top of it or in between. She had a window leaking out. We're not sure exactly how it was, but it was something like that. Let's say it was inside the walls. They're hiding in there under the flax, under the hay stuff. The king comes. The king leaves. The city gates shut. They're trapped. So she's lowering them on a rope out the window. As she's lowering them, she knows for a fact that she has just lied to her friends. She's committed treason. And the king could kill her. And as she's lowering these spies down, God says, yes. Yes. Rahab, you are living by faith right now. You're not living by your own accord. You're not doing anything that's going to make you prosperous. She's living by faith, trusting that God will protect her when they attack the city. What kinds of deeds and actions does God want? Does he want the, I'm lowering the spies out the wall, trusting everything to God? Or does he want the, yeah, I think I'll try not to kill someone today? Or does he want the, yeah, you know, I'm done with this CD. It's got a few scratches on it. Does the church want it? God does not want your freaking leftovers. You hear me? God doesn't want the part of your life that you're already sick of. But that's what we give him most of the time. We give him our leftover energy, our leftover money, our leftover words. And then we say, bless me. Bless me with abundance, God. God says, how about I bless you the same way you live? Rahab risks her earthly life because she believes in a God in heaven and on earth. When she risks her life, God says, yes. Yes, Rahab, yes. And God counted that risking her life as perfection. You know, Rahab, she should have gone to hell, just like us. But because she believed in God and took action on that belief, God says, you have faith. You have faith and you have lived your faith out. So now you're welcome in my kingdom. Let's put this on our outlines. Rahab, like us, deserved hell. But by faith, she trusted God and had actions to prove it. So God credited that as perfection, allowing her into heaven and rewarding her. Oh, we got another question that I want to answer. Why is it that some people trust God for small things, but not when it comes to the big stuff? I only share this question because if you have the answer, I want to know. I'm a pastor. This would help me out a lot. I think it's because it's easier to trust God with the small stuff, not so easy to trust him with the big stuff, right? I mean, we believe in God. We believe in God enough to, I'm just going to use money as an example because it's easy. We believe in God enough to give him the amount of money that we don't need. We're still trusting still, because, you know, we won't have any extra, so we're still trusting God. But that's still kind of easy. It takes an entirely different kind of faith to say, I'm going to give you more than I should and really believe. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it takes like an extra step of faith, an extra step of trust. I mean, it's probably the same reason why most people can walk across a balance beam, but not a tightrope, you know? I mean, it's the same principle, but there's a lot more faith involved. Seemed like Rahab made her choice in order to help her family. Does this mean that our faith for our family means more than our... That's all. Yeah, she made her choice not, this is important though, not for her family, but she helped her family once she made her choice, okay? When you come to God, you want your family to come to God. You don't come to your family so you can come to God. You understand the difference there? So if faith without works is dead, would it be the same way for works without faith? Oh yeah, totally. Works without faith is really pointless. It's a waste of time. Because if you don't believe in God, God is not going to accept your works as good deeds. He's going to say, you don't even believe in me. What the heck are you doing that for? He's not going to reward you. It's not going to matter. So if you don't have faith, your works are only for yourself. So faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead as well. Okay, so I think we're getting the point there. I should give God my best, my works, because I have faith in him. I should live out my actions, but not just my leftovers. When I say, I'm a decent person, I do right things, that's okay. But we could also be like Rahab, who says, I'm willing to risk my life because I believe in God in heaven and on earth. And I know God's up there, I know God's down here, and God will reward me, God knows me, and I'm going to do everything I can to pursue God as hard as I can. What's your attitude towards God? Is it more like, I try, or is it more like, I will risk my life? It's your choice. Don't be wrong about this one. There's no such thing as fate, people. You don't just wake up one day and say, wow, I have an extremely large amount of faith today. you put your trust in God every day more and more. And let me be real honest with you. This is biblical, so it's not just me being a jerk. But if you're giving God mainly leftovers, I question the sincerity of your faith. Because if my wife was mainly giving me leftovers before we got married, do you think I would have gone through with it? No way. If every time I said to her, hey, you want to hang out? She said, no. There's a fair tonight. I'm going to go. Well, can I come with? Yeah, if I see you there, I see you. If she took that attitude towards me, would have I continued that relationship? No way. But what's the attitude we go with God? What should I do for God tonight? I'm going to go do what I want to do. Can I go there as a servant of Christ? Well, if someone asks me about God, I'll say something. I believe in God enough to give leftovers. That's great. But do you believe in God enough to give Him everything? Here's the great part, okay? Because right now you might be feeling kind of crappy, okay? And I don't apologize for that. But here's the deal. When you start living and giving God more, it is not crappy. Most of us tend to think, okay, I gotta give God more, so I'm gonna strap on my backpack full of gloom and doom and say, I'm gonna be a good Christian, even though my life's gonna suck. Here I come, God. Misery, come to me. You know, that's what we tend to think, you know. We're like, the worse off my life is, the better I am as a Christian. But that's not the case. God designed you to serve Him. God designed you to take faith-filled risks and do amazing things for Him. So when you're doing those things, you can really find happiness. But it's funny because we give God our leftovers, and then we wonder why our happiness is so fragile. But Rahab gives her life. And look what happens when Israel attacks. This is Joshua 6. We're going to go forward a few chapters. Okay, this is Joshua 6, verse 20 to 24. You can follow it up here, or you can turn in your Bibles. So this is when they finally do attack. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. And the donkeys. When the it's fun to read the Bible, I'm telling you, yeah. You come in and they slaughtered every man, woman, and child, and the donkeys. Okay. Anyway, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all those who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young man who had done what spying went in and brought Rahab, her father and mother, brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought her and her entire family out and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. Ooh. You think she was a little bit relieved at this moment? They take her, they put her outside the city in their own camp, and then they burn Jericho to the ground. You think she's going, thank God I did what I did? Or do you think she's going, yep, this backpack of good deeds is really heavy. I mean, seriously. Do you think she thought, these obligations are too heavy, I can't deal with this? Or do you think she thought, thank you, God, for sending the spies to my house and giving me a choice to serve you? She also got rewards. Look at this. This is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. So this is like 1,500 years later when Jesus comes to earth. This is talking about Jesus' genealogy. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. And this genealogy continues all the way down to Jesus. You understand? Rahab was an ancestor of Jesus. God saw that faith as so amazing, He put Jesus in the lineage of a prostitute, and He was happy about it. You think Rahab's going, well, I prefer not to be in the lineage, Ida. You know, or do you think she's saying, well, you know, it definitely was a big burden, you better put me in. Or do you think she's going, you know what, God, thank you. I can't believe I was part of bringing Jesus to earth. Thank you, God. I mean, she is so happy she did what she did. It's not a burden to give God everything. It's a joy. Look at Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory. This is talking about Jesus. He's going to come with the angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. That's talking about Jesus when he comes back. Look at your outline. We'll put it this way. Jesus rewards me if I believe in him, right? We have to have the faith, based on what I have done. We will all, Rahab and you, be rewarded based on how we live. I mean, the first and primary question is, do you believe in God? I mean, that's, without faith, you can't please God. But the second is, how did you live? And rewards will be in accordance with what we did. Rahab risked her life, her finances, her job security. That's weird. Everything, right? I mean, she risked everything. So what do you think she got? You think she got just like God was like, well, you risked everything. Here's a quarter. No. God rewarded her according to what she had done. Look at her outlines. If we give God the best, we will be rewarded with the best. I mean, it's this simple. Whatever you give to God, you're going to get back as rewards. This is an awesome thing, people. Look, Matthew 16, again, I just don't want us to miss it. For the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Some will get more. Some will get less. If anyone's taught you that heaven's all about equality, they've taught you wrong. This is another verse talking about when we face difficult situations in life. Jesus says this, Luke 6. Rejoice in that difficult day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Would you classify it as a difficult day if you're a prostitute, spies from another country, come to your house, say hi to us, then the king knocks on your door and says, give them to me? Yeah, it's a difficult day. But rejoice in it, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Why? Because you have a choice to make. And if you make the choice to follow God, great is your reward in heaven. Rahab was put in a crappy situation, treason or die. But she has saw it as an opportunity to work for God. And because of that, she will get rewards. And because of that, she was happy. She's sitting outside the camp with her entire family, safe, when the city's burning down. You think she was going, oh no, my dishes. Or she was saying, my family is safe. She chose to follow God. I guarantee you, she was extremely happy about the result. And she's going to be happy forever, because she gets rewards in heaven for that as well. I get so mad when people think being good equals boring. No. Being good equals rewards. And rewards can mean happiness. Doing our best bring the best rewards. Don't get me wrong. When I say rewards, it doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Many of these rewards aren't going to come until the next life, but the next life is much longer than this one. I prefer to have them there. Right? Thank you, Rahab, for showing us this. Thank you, Jesus, for putting this in your word to teach us that faith must translate to action, to teach us that we should give our best because you reward us based on our action. Let's look at our outlines. Through faith, I will find my greatest joy in giving God my very best. I want to be hungry for God, right? No more leftovers. No more fake faith. Real faith, real action. Because God is in heaven and on earth, I will believe in God, but I will translate that belief to real actions on earth. Real God, real faith, real actions, real rewards. So you have a choice to make. How will you live? I've done my part. Now you get to do yours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are yours, God. We do not belong to ourselves. We do not belong to a country or a city or anyone but you, and we want to live that way, God. We don't want to have faith that is weak and piddly, and we don't want to have faith like demons who believe in you but don't do anything about it. God, we want to have faith that challenges us and pushes us. We want to have faith that brings us rewards like you told us about, God. You told us about rewards so we could find them, and I thank you and I praise you for telling us, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.